السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا مباركا طيبا فيه، مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى. وصلى الله على النبي المصطفى المجتبى صلاة تطيب بها القلوب وتكشف بها الغموم والكروب وتغفر بها الذنوب، صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم جمع الثقلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من غدا أو راها إلى المسجد فأعد الله له نزلا في الجنة كلما غدا أو راها إلى المسجد، رواه الشيخان. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected brothers on site, those listening off site, sisters, greet you all with the greetings of Islam. As the holy month of Ramadan sadly draws to a natural conclusion, it is perhaps time to reflect upon our journey. That where were we, where are we heading? And some of the key concepts of this journey, the underpinning lessons, ideas that we need to take forward, and the divine plan of Allah Rabbul Alameen for His creation. During these last 10 days, we are consciously aware that the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being referred to in the Quran as infallible, ma'soom, sinless, this is our wholehearted belief, what we call aqidah, that every prophet is free from sin. This is not the belief of other religions, where there is some sort of sin attributed to the prophets in this different periods, even to this day. This is not the belief of Islam. But despite the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being sinless and infallible, he engaged the full 10 days in i'tikaf. He engaged in Salatul Tahajjud. He engaged in the recitation and recital of the Holy Quran. When he was asked, why do you do this? You have been deemed to be infallible. And he said, Afala akuna abdan shakura. Should I not be a grateful servant of Allah Rabbul Alameen? What does it mean for grateful in the case of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he is not seeking forgiveness from his sins like we are? Then what is it that he is seeking forgiveness from? The deep lesson in the life of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he acknowledged and taught us that despite him not being having any sins, there are innumerable favors upon an individual's life at every moment of his life. And he was concerned, perhaps I am not being grateful to the extent that I should be. Therefore, I need to seek forgiveness. That was his istighfar. That was his seeking for forgiveness. Our seeking forgiveness is due to our shortcomings, misdemeanors, and our sins. May Allah Rabbul Alameen forgive us. And it is these 10 days that constantly we are reminded by this dua, the bottom line of it. This dua, by the way, which is practiced, recited after every four rakats, it's desirable. It's not a must. It's desirable. And in some mashayikh, instead of this dua, used to recite some other dua. Or even the shortest, if some imams have a bit of a hop, skip and jump tarawih, as soon as the salam is done, they're up again, like a yo-yo, then they would just do subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Some miss this dua, if they're in a really big hurry, miss this dua and just carry on without having a stop. In some masjids you will find, perhaps in North America this is quite widespread out, that they will have tafsir after 4 rakats. Imagine that in Bolton. Some have been, and I've personally been to masjids where the talk, I've delivered the talk for 20 minutes and said 20 minutes is enough. Everybody sits, 2,500, 3,000 people. Nobody moves. It's a question of your appreciation of the moment you are in. So this dua, the reminder here is, at the end, oh Allah, protect us from the hellfire. Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his appreciation for every favor of life upon him, he would say the words, ittaqun nar walau bishakki tamrah. That, say, be conscious of the hellfire, even if it is with a half a piece of date. I.e., even if you can give half a piece of date as charity and sadaqah, give it with the whole intention of protecting yourself from the hellfire. Allah Rabbul Alameen, protect us. This is the reminder to us all. In Islam, there is an idea, and this is the idea here, that there is, what is freedom in Islam? When 2-3 centuries ago, if you look at world history, there was an idea of freedom, freedom from liberation from a slave master. In the time of colonialism, there was freedom from the colonialist forces and many independent or freedom fighter wars happened. In the time of pre-Islamic Arabia, the female was objectified as a commodity. The individuals who were brought over from Abyssinia, Ethiopia, East Africa into Mecca and Medina, they were slaves. And they had to really work their lives out just in slavery. When Islam came, Islam provided means by which this slavery finished. Didn't happen overnight. It was slowly phased. Quran in the 18th just says, فَكَاتِبُوهُ مِنْ عَلِمْتُمْ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا. Go into a contractual agreement with the slave so that he can buy himself out. Slavery. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Salman al-Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the companion who gave Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the advice, or the suggestion we should say. Who can give advice to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The suggestion to dig a trench. He was also a slave under a Jewish master. And the price of freedom was to plant 300 date trees. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that himself. And 40 pieces of silver, he did that himself, just to buy the freedom. Freedom was understood to be freedom from a slave master. That was the old understanding, and eventually Islam phased it all out and abolished it. It returned in the Western Hemisphere. Africa, UK, the Caribbeans and North America. That was the slave trade. If you go to Barbados, you will still see the history of this in the museum. If you go to Liverpool and the docks, there is a museum there as well. That freedom was understood as freedom, but Islam has a deeper message and a deeper concept in this. Freedom in this world is not freedom from a slave master. Freedom in this world is not freedom from the way you vote, or the right to vote, or a political system where you feel you have some kind of freedom. Freedom from an Islamic perspective is you are free from your nafs, your ego, your desires, your carnal desires to drag you down and distance you from the Jannatul Firdaus and nearer to hellfire. That's the lesson here. That's the message of freedom that Islam gives. And that's the message of freedom whenever a military expedition went into other territory and geography, that was the message they given. That was simply not to capture a ruling leader or seize the material assets of any country or pillage any material assets of any country. We see this even nowadays. The aim, for example, I left off last week, that there's about 10 battles that happen in the month of Ramadan. And the aim of those battles was to wipe out Islam. Not Muslims, Islam, once and for all. But every time that attempt happened, yes, Muslims suffered. Yes, there were lots of people who passed away and were killed. But Islam rose again from the earth. From down, back up. And in the Battle of Qadisiyah, 5-6 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, this is the caliphate leadership, decisive leadership of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. From 634 to 644 of the common era was his. Islam spread from West Africa to China in 10 years, just 10 years. Imagine on camelback and horseback, the Middle East and beyond was under Islam. How did this happen? Where did the strength come from? And meager provisions, paltry provisions. Battle of Qadisiyah in the year 637. This was with the Persians. Persians and Romans were the superpowers. Both were about to fall to the Muslims. The prediction for that had come well before 637 and 638. If you read the history of battles or Kitab al-Maghazi in Bukhari Sharif, you will find, if you join the dots up particularly, you will find what was happening then. In the Battle of Qadisiyah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was at that time the military leader of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Under Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was a general from very poor background. And he was Rib'i ibn Amir. Rib'i ibn Amir was the man from a poor background where others had the best breed horse, the best bred horse, the sophisticated armor, and the best sword. He had a shabby horse. And if you want to understand what a shabby horse looks like, go to a zoo next time and ask them the different size and shapes of a horse. He had a metal piece with a pointed edge which served and functioned as his sword. It had a wooden piece that was tied with a piece of cloth at the top in order to grip it. And he did not have the monies to buy a sheath, a cover, to put the sword inside, so he covered it with a piece of cloth. He mounted that and he's taking orders. Line management from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, whose line manager is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to go to Qadisiyah because the Muslims have entered Persian territory now. Persia, modern day Iran, to give you a brief overview, it was Sunni Islam. It was liberated in 637. And there was some battles until 1609 when the ruler at that time, and in between came the Fatimiyun, the Fatimids, between 11th and the 13th century. Those are the ones who established Azhar University in Cairo. They brought it back to Shiism. In 1609, the ruling Shah of that time, Shah Ismail, he claimed to be the Khalifa. And then from 1609, modern-day Iran, its borders have shrunk a little bit. Modern-day Afghanistan was part of the old Iran. It was famous for the Silk Route, for the rugs, for the carpets, etc. Iran, Isfahan, Najaf, all these, Karbala, all these places that are quite dear to Shiite individuals. Now, and in 19th century, by the way, the Shia clergy organize themselves rather like in Christian Catholics have a bit of a pyramid where you have the Pope at the top and you have bishops, etc., at the bottom. You have what you will listen to on the news is Ayatollah Fulah and Ayatollah Fulah. That's the bottom rung of their clergy system, Ayatollah Fulah. Ayatollah Sijistani, for example, in his time was the leader, spiritual leader in Iraq. Ayatollah Khomeini, who established this theory called Wilayatul Faqih, decision by jurist only. So power in Iran is always between the political and the religious leadership. That's why who is the spiritual leader is so important. You cannot understand Iran unless you understand the theology of Iran. Back to the Battle of Qadisiyah. Qadisiyah 637, Rabi ibn Amir is sent. Because the Qadisiyans, the Persian Empire, wanted to negotiate. They were in a weak position, about to crumble. To save grace, they wanted to negotiate. So Rabi ibn Amir goes. On his shabby horse, he goes in, inside this palace. They're expecting this entourage with this individual. And he goes by himself. Which one of us would do this? Go to the enemy territory. But when you have Allahu Akbar here, the world's power is nothing. Where Allahu Akbar is missing here, and material assets, seat of power is dominant in your ideology, that's when it becomes an issue. So Rabi ibn Amir goes, and he stopped. He said, you can't come on your shabby horse. You have to dismount. You are the ones who called me. Either I go back or you speak with me. This is the confidence of the believer when Iman is in his DNA. Goes inside. The ruler of the Qadisiyah Empire, leave him. Why have you Muslims come here? I went off at a tangent when I said, Muslims did not go into another territory in order to pillage the minerals or land of any other people. They went with a message, and that message was freedom of the world, and this is what that means. He said, لَقَدْ إِبْتَعَسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكُمْ Allah has sent us. We haven't come. Allah has sent us. لِنُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ So that we may free you from worshipping slaves and false deities and guide you towards worshipping your one creator. That was the message they took. The spread of Islam and the attacks on Islam, they were defensive wars. They were not aggressive wars. There was no brutal aggression. Where this happened at times, and Muslims have been at fault at times, Hazrat Umar in his time, if he found out, that person would have had it. They are all accountable to Allah Rabbul Alameen, just like we are accountable individually to Allah Rabbul Alameen. The second message he said, لِنُخْرِجَكُمْ Take you out from worshipping other deities and individuals. He says, all of you are sat here, and your king is sat here on the throne. You're worshipping him. You're bowing in front of him. You're prostrating in front of him. This is not freedom. Freedom is you recognize your creator and bow to him. That's freedom. That's the freedom Allah has granted me and you. That we come to the masjid, and hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man ghada, he who comes to the morning, awraha, or he comes in the evening to the masjid, Allah Rabbul Alameen prepares for him a banquet whenever he comes to the masjid. In Jannatul Firdaus. Coming to the masjid, that means you guarantee the place in Jannah. So long as Iman is there, inshallah. It says, we have come, لِنُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْ دِيكِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعَةِ الْآخِرَةِ So that we may liberate and free you from the narrowness, constrictness of this world and take you towards the vastness of the hereafter. لِنُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ So that we may liberate you and free you from the tyranny, persecution, and bullying of other religions and systems and ideologies to the fairness and justice of Islam. Those were the three messages. That how freedom was explained. That's the freedom of this world that was explained. And the freedom of the hereafter. The freedom of the hereafter, the Rabbul Alameen is explaining to us every single day of these nights, last 10 days. This is why we read dua and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam named these last 10 days, itqum minan nar, liberating, freeing. Itq is an amazing Arabic noun. Amazing word. The beauty of the Quran is in the words of the Quran. Amazing. Itq means that you are liberated in a way that there is no possibility for you to go there again. You may well ask yourself the question and entertain the question, what if I were to lapse and sin again? That itq means Allah will guide you to do tawbah and repentance and free you again. That's the idea of itq in Islam. Ataqa ya'tiqu means to liberate, to free. But the choice of words, to liberate and free, there is another word for it in Arabic language. And another word. There's more than one word. But the idea of the usage of the word itq is only used that it will never happen. If you happen to fall into sin and shortcome in inactivity, Allah will guide you to repent and Allah will free you. That's what the freedom of the hereafter. Because the opposite of that is what the Quran describes as ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ مُبِينَ, that he who is bankrupt in the hereafter, that is the ultimate loss. And for that freedom in the hereafter, we need iman. And we need Allah's mercy. So the first 10 days were all about mercy. If you look at the Quran, maghfirah comes first. Rahmah comes after. Maghfir, Allah forgives your sins. Rahmah is to raise your ranks. And then freedom from the hereafter. In Ramadan, it's flipped. Rahmah comes first. Maghfirah comes afterwards. Why? Because Rahmah comes first. Allah Rabbul Alameen does not want to give the mental torture to any single believer. No matter what you have done in the past 300 and odd days, you come to me, my mercy is awaiting. That mental anxiety, Allah Rabbul Alameen is giving no excuse. You just come to me, raise your hands, I'm here to forgive you. This is our Allah. This is our Iman. This is our Quran. The journey of fasting, reciting the Quran, listening to the Quran, reflecting upon the Quran, adopting, absorbing the Quran, and doing something to free yourself. It's doing personally. This is why the mashayikh always turn to devotional worship. What you do yourself in devotion, because when you put this sinful forehead onto the ground, that is the closest you are to Allah Rabbul Alameen. And there are different forms of dua. One form, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us, demonstrated to us, was to go in sajda, open your hands, facing the heaven, and do dua with your forehead. That is the ultimate position of submissiveness, that you bow down. If you can't, just like we have in the time of death, if you can't read the kalima, raise your finger. You will say, I've seen in this masjid how many times visitors have been here, they have stood there on these stairs, I can still see those individuals raise their finger to Allah Rabbul Alameen. And in a deep trance of dua, absolute connection with Allah, totally oblivious, unaware of what is happening around, people passing by or whatever. Because when a human being is in absolute need and turning to Allah, Allah is most closest. So our need of these 10 days, this last Jumu'ah of the month of Ramadan, perhaps, it may well be Eid next week because we'll be expiring at 30 days. Allah Rabbul Alameen is here to forgive your sins, my sins, your sins, everybody's sins. And one of the du'as of Iftar brothers, repeat, Allahumma ighfir li ummati Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma arham ummata Muhammad. Oh Allah, have mercy upon the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Hizbul Aza, 25 times or 27 times you repeat, Allahumma ighfir li ummati Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your dua will be accepted. I've also heard this from Mashayikh. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib rahmatullah alayhi would teach us, train us to do this, so that we do not forget, make this statement. of Allahumma aghfir, oh Allah, forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the second idea, the first idea is ibadah. If you are in ibadah, engage in ibadah with wholeheartedness, full devotion, full focus, full concentration, you have liberated yourself from the thing that's pulling you down, and that's your own nafs, your own desire. This is why Battle of Tabuk, another battle of Ramadan. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his way back, said, we are now returning from the small battle to the greater battle. The greater battle is against yourself. Allah Rabbul Alameen, make us strong in our spiritual focus so that we continue on our journey to be close to Allah Rabbul Alameen outside the month of Ramadan. So ibadah, devotion. This is why Allah could have just expected us to do this, but He puts on a training course to achieve this. And if you want a litmus test of whether your Ramadan was accepted or not in the sight of Allah, your litmus test is what is happening after Ramadan. What is your devotion and engagement with the masjid? Are you coming at the last minute for Jumu'ah? Are you still coming at the first minute? Are you coming 10, 15 minutes before Salat, Faras Salat, and enjoying your Sunnah Salat, doing your Durood Sharif, etc.? This is the training. Whether it's Durood Sharif, recital, charity, fasting. Are you able to fast in these winter months of Monday and Thursday, Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Arafah fast will be coming up. Look at the people around us. Brothers in Palestine, they have no idea where the dates are coming from. Never mind the food afterwards. How food is being reached there, Allah Rabbul Alameen's grace is providing that, despite the current situation. So the idea of freedom of Islam in these last 10 days. You free yourself from your nafs and you engage with Allah, who is your all-creating being. Many verses of the Quran are focused on this. The idea of what is ibadah. Our ibadah, the way we do it, is absolutely unique. Today is not the time to go through all the different postures and what they resemble and what lesson they give. And the freedom lesson of the hereafter, which is captured here, we ask this. Allahumma ajirna minan nar, protect us from the fire, protect us from the fire. Rasulullah repeated many times those du'as which he would stress upon. And he would cry. Why would he cry? He would cry for us. Demonstrate how this is so important for the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Rabbul Alameen grant us freedom from our nafs, from our egos, from our desires. May Allah Rabbul Alameen grant us freedom in the hereafter. And Allah Rabbul Alameen grant all the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lofty station in close proximity to the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru ta'wan, alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة فلاح حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
لا إله إلا الله
Thank you. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله الحي على الصلاة الحي على الصلاة على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا مباركا طيبا فيه مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى وصلى الله على النبي المصطفى المجتبى صلاة تطيب بها القلوب وتكشف بها الغموم والكروب وتغفر بها الذنوب صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين إلى يوم جمع الثقلين أما بعد فيا أيها الناس أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله وأحذركم يوما عبوسا قمطريرا يوم تبلى كل نفس ولا تقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا تجد نصيرا حيث يقول الله عز وجل يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم اللهم اجعل قلوبنا سالمة سالمة من النفاق والكفر والعصيان والفجور والفسق يا أرحم الراحمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر صدق الله صدق الله صدق الله العظيم وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال من غدا أو راح إلى المسجد أعد الله له نزولا كلما غدا أو راح إلى المسجد رواه الشيخان وعن نعمان بن بشير رضي الله تعالى عنه الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن اتقى الشبهات استبرأ لدينه وإرضه ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام كالراعي يرعى حول الحمى يوشك أن يقع فيه ألا إن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب رواه مسلم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من كان يريد العاجلة أجلنا له فيها ما نشاء لمن نريد ثم جعلنا له جهنم يصلاها مذموما مدحورا ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك بر رؤوف رحيم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فيا أيها الناس، أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله والمواظبة على ذكر الله، ألا خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الأمور عوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة. وقال الله عز وجل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى أزواجي وأصحابي وأتباعي سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأحياهم عثمان، وأفضاهم علي، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله، وسيدا شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين، وعالمهم بالحلال والحرام معاذ بن جبل، وأفردهم زيد بن ثابت، وأقرأهم لكتاب الله أبي بن كعب، ولكل أمة أمين، وأمين هذه الأمة أبو عبيدة بن الجراح رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبه. الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير القرون قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. يقول الله عز وجل: أدعوني أستجب لكم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات، اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات، اللهم احفظ مقدسات المسلمين، اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى، اللهم ارحم أهل فلسطين وأهل غزة، اللهم ارحم أهل فلسطين وأهل غزة، اللهم ارحم أهل فلسطين وأهل غزة، اللهم أعتق رقابنا من النار، اللهم أعتق رقاب آبائنا وأمهاتنا وأزواجنا وأولادنا وأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، إنك أنت من يا أرحم الراحمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Please prepare for salah. Please ensure that your rows are complete and straight. If there's any spaces before you, please complete them. Please fill them. Jazakumullah. Allah bless you.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تسلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارك مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على النبي الكريم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ربنا أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم ربنا لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وتلاوتنا آناء الليل وآناء النهار. ربنا تقبل منا صدقاتنا وزكاتنا وتبرعاتنا واعتكاف المعتكفين وعمرة المعتمرين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. اللهم اعتق رقابنا من النار. اللهم اعتق رقابنا من النار. اللهم اعتق رقابنا من النار. اللهم اهجرنا من النار يا مجير يا مجير يا مجير. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.